Hello, my name is Tori Whitaker Martinez, and I'm the senior editor for Infection Control Today. And today, I am honored to have Joe Ritchie, who is the CEO of TRSA, and Diane Troxell, who is the director of clinical education at Handcraft Linen Services. So thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you for
You're
having us,
welcome.
Tori.
Thank you. So, if you don't mind, before we get into some discussion, would you mind telling me a little bit about yourself?
I represent TRSA, so we have about 300 members that provide essential services, supply, maintain, and launder reusable textiles in the healthcare environment, but also in restaurants, businesses, places that use uniforms. I've been the CEO for 15 years. I've visited about 500 laundries, many of which are healthcare oriented. So I've built a really good understanding of where we are in the healthcare space. And most of our members, about 70% of our members, do something in the healthcare sector. So we work with infection preventers pretty closely on a regular basis.
I'm Diane Troxell. I am a registered nurse and have worked in a lot of different areas in hospitals. So my position at Handcraft Linen Services is clinical education. So my role is really to be that liaison between the commercial laundry operator and the healthcare system and the people who work there. So that is a great opportunity. It's sort of a unique position because if a vendor comes in and says, this is what you should do, they maybe half listen. But when I come in as a nurse and say, I know what you're dealing with, I've been there, I've done it, it just comes off a little different. So I really enjoy that kind of liaison role. And education is my passion. So I love to be able to provide that for our customers.
Thank you for explaining that. I appreciate it very much. So, my very first question is, what were the key findings from the National Academies of Sciences workshop on reusable PPE, and how do they reflect the potential for reusable textiles to transform infection control practices in healthcare?
Sure. I'll take the big bulk of what the research, what the workshop entailed and what came out of it, and maybe Diane can provide the infection prevention kind of perspective on that. So the National Academy of Sciences convened a 2-day workshop with a myriad of stakeholders and experts. So it had folks from the healthcare sector, had research, academics, people that manufacture both disposable and reusable PPE. Laundries, both commercial laundries and OPL laundries. So really a myriad of stakeholders. And for 2 days, they had research, they did presentations, they discussed information that's available publicly and within these organizations regarding the use of reusable PPE, particularly when you're talking about a pandemic. So you may recall that during the pandemic, there were images of healthcare workers wearing plastic bags and wearing dishwashing gloves. Well, that became an event because we ran out of disposable PPE and there wasn't enough reusable PPE available because it just wasn't being purchased, so people weren't manufacturing it. So post-pandemic, they wanted to look at, should we have a different perspective on reusable versus disposable? So part of the research they were looking at was life cycle assessments that have been done with reusable versus disposable. Which certainly identified that the reusable product is more environmentally sustainable, even regarding, cradle to grave, manufacturing, shipping, washing, laundering, all those kinds of things. Reusable textiles or reusable PPE can be used 75 times as opposed to one time of a disposable gown, eliminating 15,000 pounds, 15,000 tons, excuse me, of product into the waste stream every day from disposable PPE. And looked at what else it did in terms of reducing costs. So at the end of the day, it really said that the reusable product, the reusable PPE in the healthcare environment, it reduced cost, it reduced waste, it improved supply chain resiliency, and was more environmentally sustainable product for the industry to use. And their ultimate outcome is they want to look at opportunities and to partner with organizations that can help increase the use of reusable healthcare PPE.
Yeah, so from like the healthcare side of it, certainly PPE is a critical component for the infection prevention and control strategies in a facility. So it's something that we need to be aware of, because the reusable PPE, I mean, the purpose of it is to protect healthcare workers from infectious diseases, from illnesses, from other health related risks. So providing hygienically clean, reusable textiles and linens is really the focus.
Okay, that makes sense. My question though, is there any kind of textile that can't be reused? Like, can you reuse things in the operating room, or is there anything like that?
I mean, we look at our laundry processes and what they can do to get things clean. And when you really look at it, there's not a lot of things in a healthcare environment that, you know, can't be killed by hot water and detergent and time and agitation. You know, our normal laundering process really does all that. And that's why we launched our hygienically clean certification about 12 years ago, was to make sure we were looking at the processes that are done within a laundry that would produce hygienically clean textiles. We do testing protocols around it, and we don't test, you know, every piece of linen or any scientific level of linen, but we do it quarterly basis to see if we're killing bacteria, if we're killing fungus, what other things may live on that bacteria, on the textiles, and if we're killing them with our laundering process. And what we found is that, you know, the laundering process does get it clean, regardless of how disgusting or nasty it may look. One of the nurses in the workshop said, you know, there's an ick factor. You know, we see all the stuff that's on there, and can you really get it clean? And what we're proving is you can. And that's universal. I mean, we talk all the time with our global partners about, you know, laundry, and we're washing, you know, textiles from certain parts of the world with machines that are built in certain parts of the world, and getting the same stuff off of it on a global basis. And we all kind of agree on where those standards lie in regards to level of bacteria and level of microbiological testing that needs to be done, and what determines a hygienically clean product. And that's a global kind of environment. And that's what we built our hygienically clean standard about. And so from that standpoint, you can get it clean. It does come clean. It's just convincing people sometimes that, you know, having a reusable product that's sitting on the shelf, that, you know, it can last 75 times, but, you know, it looks a little worn. It's still got all the protective qualities to it, but it's just as clean as something you pulled out of a wrapper and unopened and put on. And I like to use the example, I mean, I've worked in other organizations, and I like to use this example. I once worked in with oral and maxillofacial surgeons. And I like to say that because it took me about 3 years to figure out how to say oral and maxillofacial surgeons. And they would do surgery on cadavers, and they would open up that kit of disposable product, and they didn't need a lot of it because it was just a head. So they would throw the pants away, and they would throw the hat away. They would throw parts of it away, and they would wear the gown and maybe the gloves and the mask. And so that right there is trash. And we are, the United States is the number one leader in the world in healthcare waste. And so we've got to look at ways to reduce it. So if there's a product that can reduce waste and reduce cost and be better for the supply chain and be better for the environment, it seems like it should be the smart decision.
Yeah, I mean, Joe has it right. We have to convince the people, right? That, and that's part of my job, right? As the clinical educator, is to go in and explain the process and invite them to our plant and tour and showcase that we are hygienically clean certified by TRSA, and really explain that part of it to get them to understand. Sometimes I go into hospitals and I see a admission bed and it has a disposable and a reusable bed pad on it. I say, why do you do that? Well, we have a lot coming out, and so they want to have like that double protection. And I'm like, just use two reusable pads then. And so sometimes it just takes a little bit. We've always done it that way. We need to get over that. We need to educate, do more. More tests and those kind of things, convince people that reusable, we do have the reusable products. And I like to talk through, again, as a nurse, I like to talk through, there are so many reusable products that we use in the facility. And if you think about linen as reusable, we don't put it in the trash. We don't put it in the red bags. We don't give it away. All of those things, send it back to us. We will get it clean. That's what we do. So that's the piece I think that continues to be missing, is that continuing education. As a nurse, I never got that education. So how can I be held accountable for it if I never received it? So I like to make sure that part of it is, that they understand that part.
Yeah, and I think part of it is too. I mean, it's the last thing you want to think about. I mean, nurses are trying to take care of patients. They're learning medical procedures. They're really focused on patient care. You know, nobody really thinks about textiles until you don't have them. And I think that was the big, you know, aha moment during the pandemic was, now we don't have it. Now what do we do? As long as you had it, people just kept doing what they did, pulling it off the shelf. It's reusable, disposable, whatever it is. When it runs out, then you got to figure out, okay, now what do I need to educate myself about it? Because, you know, these healthcare, and we've done some studies with our friends in Europe, you know, the healthcare facility can't go more than 2 or 3 days without getting textiles. They just run out and they get piled up of the dirty textiles. Mm-hmm. So, you know, during the pandemic, we got deemed an essential service for that and other things, but primarily for healthcare. Because you got to get this stuff in and out of the facility. You can't have a pile up and they need new textiles. You can't run the facility. So during the pandemic, when people realized they couldn't get access to it, that's when people decided, hey, we better start looking at it. And that's the case in other sectors we serve too. I mean, restaurants aren't really concerned about table linen until they don't have any and they can't sit somebody, or a hotel doesn't have linens for their room and they can't open the room. Starts costing them money. So that's when they think about us. Before I started here, I had no idea how any of this stuff got cleaned. I just assumed they had a washing machine in the hotel or in the hospital. And you get in this industry and you're like, wow, there's a whole industry here of really supporting everybody. And I think that's become an eye opener for a lot of people as well in the healthcare sector.
Right. And you have it right that they don't think about it, right? There's so many other priorities. Linen isn't something that they really need, or they think that they don't need to think about. But when you think about the patient perspective, right? Think about, they are 100% touching that linen all the time, through the gown, through the you know, the pillowcase, the sheet, the blanket is on them. A lot of times there are customer or patient satisfaction surveys afterwards, and one of the questions that is asked is about the cleanliness of the hospital. And some patients may only see their room. And so why wouldn't we want to have that hygienically clean linen? Because that's going to be the main part of what they think about when they think about the cleanliness of the hospital. So you're totally right. There's so many priorities, so many things to think about, so many new initiatives, that type of thing. But it's something that we need to make sure that they are aware, at least, of the linen management strategies to make it safer for them, for, you know, isolation gowns and those type of things for the healthcare worker, but also for the patient.
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked a little bit about this, but the question is, with about 90% of healthcare PPE being disposable, what are the primary barriers? We've already talked about a few, but what about the other ones? You know, cleanliness concerns, cost, storage, working on, you know, having the machines to clean stuff that prevent the broader adaptation of reusable PPE.
Yeah, I'll take this one, and Joe, you can add in as you see. Certainly, so the frontline workers are going to use what's available to them, right? So if you have an isolation, a room that has a patient on isolation, you are using the isolation gown that is available, and you're not thinking about what are the other options, that kind of thing. So really, it's the hospital administrators where we need to make sure that they understand these barriers and how to get a, you know, away from these barriers and tell them about some of the benefits of reusable textiles. So one of them is cost, right? So there's a study that says that reusable gowns give you a 52% savings over the disposable gowns. So that speaks to the hospital administrators, right? The financial people, the supply people, They want that lower cost. And so if you can explain that to them, that is a great opportunity to get over that barrier, right, of cost. Certainly, we talked about better for the environment. Joe mentioned that 15,000 tons, right, every day. That's a lot. It's either going to go, that waste, that trash is either going to go in a landfill or it's going to be incinerated. And with hospitals, they pay for incineration and they pay by weight. Most of them. I'm sure there are a few out there that there's some other another way that they're doing it, but they pay by weight. So the more we put in there, the more they're paying for the incineration costs. And so again, that kind of goes back to cost too. So if you can decrease your incineration, you can decrease that cost. So lower cost, better for the environment, better for the supply chain resiliency, all of those things are great, but is it a better product? So that's the other piece that needs to be talked about, right? And there was a 2018 study by the National Academies. It was reviewed by the National Academies, and it said that reusable gowns were consistently, they consistently outperformed the disposables. And that test that they do is related to liquid barrier protection, and that's what you're looking for that protective PPE, right? That you want to keep the liquids away from you and away from soaking through to your scrubs or your or you know, the whatever you're wearing, the uniform that you're wearing. So all of that is great. So okay, better product, lower cost, all of those things are great. It's not going to work unless the healthcare provider wears it, right? So if it's not comfortable, if there's that type of issue with it, they'll bypass it or they'll do a workaround. They'll figure out another way to do it. And that increases their own risks and the risk to the patient. So it's something that we need to think about too. Like, okay, as you're determining which gown you want, you need to make sure that you're asking the staff, the people who are actually going to be using it. In 2022, TRSA did a survey, and 60% of the respondents to that survey said that they liked the cloth better for medical settings, just based on safety and comfort and just the environment in general, just having that security there. So I think those are some of those barriers that we need to talk about and overcome. Because I'm sure, again, it's that concept of, well, we've always done it this way. We've always put a disposable and a reusable bed pad on or those type of things. Well, let's make sure that that's the right thing to do. And that's the best for the healthcare worker as well as the patient.
Well, well said. And I think part of it, too, and I'll just add that when you're looking at purchasing, a lot of times that's done through a GPO or group purchasing organization. And they're much more attuned to and much more comfortable with buying products, right? They'll buy 10,000 tongue depressors or they're going to buy whatever. So it's a line item and they pay a price for it and it's done. When we start buying a service, that's an ongoing cost paid over time. It's a different kind of contract. It's just more complicated. And it doesn't mean they don't want to do the right thing. But when they look at that and they look at the cost comparison, they're not considering all these other items. And that's why we're out trying to educate people about that. And that's why the National Academy of Sciences was so important, because here's a government agency, a third independent third party that convened people, all the stakeholders that were involved, and got everybody together. And they all agreed on the benefits of the reusable textile, which included the cost and lower waste and supply chain resiliency and environmental sustainability, all those factors. And I don't think they'd ever been presented like that in a kind of presentation where there was an independent third party. I mean, it's great if we say it's less expensive and we do a case study on it, but you know, we wash the stuff. So to have us say it is really not, we're not independent third party. And so we need to be able to point to things like that. And you'll see case studies within that document that there's whole healthcare facilities that have gone fully reusable. We think there's certainly a market for both reusable and disposable products. We're seeing states like New York and California and other states considering legislation that will require an operating threshold of 50% reusable product because of the benefits it provides. Not only in the, we're talking about, you know, the sustainability and as Diane said, it provides better coverage and better safety, but they're starting now to look at environmental issues. So I think as you get a younger purchasing group, the millennials, They think about environmental sustainability more than the older generations. And that was really the impact in Europe. Europe had about a 30% or more of reusable products than in Canada. And they didn't have the shortages because they were able to rely on that kind of rotating inventory. And because that inventory was there, people kept manufacturing it. And they were able to get that product and not have the shortages we had. And they just think about the environment. They're ahead of us on environmental issues. There's no doubt about that. I mean, look at what they're doing with carbon tax and what they're doing on extended producer responsibility and getting rid of single-use products. It just makes a lot of sense, more sense to them than it has to us. But we're getting there. I think we're starting to look at it more universally.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said like there needs to be a balance, right? So if somebody isn't ready to go full on all reusable, then there needs to be a balance. But really knowing that reusable it is the future, right? It's the future for that next public health emergency that we're gonna hopefully never get. But if we do, we need to be ready for that. They need to be ready. The hospital administrators, the supply chain, the GPOs, as Joe mentioned, they need to be thinking about that change for the near future. And as they're putting out RFPs, requests for proposals, as they're looking for commercial laundry operators, they need to be looking for those hygienically clean certified operators to make sure that what they're getting is what they need. Is the hygienically clean textiles.
One question that I have, and this has come up many times. You mentioned working in a hotel. I used to work in a hotel. I did the laundry. I hated it. I just be straight up, I hated it. But that was in-house, okay? And what if a hospital wants to do it in-house? You have a lot of other expenditures. You have to buy the machines. You have to buy the cleansing, the detergents. You have to have the people who run them. You have to have the people who fix them. You have to make sure that everything is balanced. You have to buy the linens originally. And then you have to worry about where they disappear to because healthcare workers are known to throw them away if they're too dirty, not thinking that they can get clean. How do you overcome these arguments of having reusable textiles because people aren't thinking about sending it out to a service? How do you deal with that? When you go in to speak to a CEO, how do you argue with that?
For us, so that's a let's say we have a customer who's looking to see what would work, right? So they currently have an on-premises laundry, so OPL is what we call it, and they're doing their laundry in-house. And so we then just say, okay, so these are the things that you're dealing with, exactly what you were talking about, maintaining the equipment, making sure that they have the temperature correct and all of those things to make sure that they are providing that clean laundry. And then as people throw it away, they have to continue to buy and purchase more and those type of things. So kind of talking through all of those things, all of those issues that they're dealing with currently with an OPL, then we say, okay, this is how a rental contract would look, and this is how we can help you. And these are basically going through a pro con list, right? Of just sort of taking all of that process away. They don't have to store, there's a different storage capacity. You order what you need based on your unit census or based on your daily census and those type of things. And so that is just a conversation that you have to have to give them sort of talking through those barriers and how a commercial laundry operator can really help them.
And we found, I said, well, right now, more than 80% of healthcare linen is outsourced because they've seen, and that's happened in the last 20, 25 years, where they've started to see, hey, you can't find employees to do the stuff you need to be done in a hospital, no less somebody to do. I always say, I don't want to do my own laundry, no less anybody else's, but, who wants to do that? Where do you find the room for that? A lot of people, when they actually had an on-premise laundry, found that it, much like this is, we're seeing this in the hospitality industry, they can take the laundry out and put in revenue generating or customer focused initiatives. They can take it out and put an MRI machine in, or put some kind of service in where they're generating revenue instead of having a cost center. So I think those are the basic things. But a big thing is the linen. I mean, they don't have to buy it. They rent it from us. We make sure there's enough. We're responsible to make sure it's resupplied. They're not really engaged in that process at all. It's a collaborative process that we're working with them on what they need on a regular basis. So they don't have shortages or they're not running out of things. And they just don't have to worry about it. So I think that's been the biggest issue. And as I said earlier, they don't want to think about it unless they don't have it. And when you've got an on-premise laundry, now you're managing laundry workers. You've got your water and energy consumption, which goes way up because they're not typically running full machines. They may be running half machines to get it done and get it clean and turn it around. So they're not running the machines as efficient. There's just a lot of factors that go into what it would cost a healthcare facility to run their own laundry. And that's the benefit and why we've seen the tremendous growth in the outsourcing of healthcare textiles.
Absolutely. So you mentioned this a little bit, but I'm gonna back up a little bit to this. What are the current efforts at the federal and state levels, such as in New York, California, and what does the CDC say to encourage a better balance between disposable and reusable PPE in healthcare? What role do you think or should policymakers play in driving this change?
I think it's driving the conversation. So if nothing else, we're having those discussions. So for instance, in California and New York, because there are bills out there to have an operating threshold of reusable textiles, we're talking to nurses unions. We're talking to healthcare facilities that are represented by groups within the state. We're talking to lawmakers. We're discovering new things. We were talking to lawmakers in New York. They came into the facility. They were looking around the facility. They saw, that we were processing hygienically clean textiles. They saw all the things we were doing for the healthcare. And then it clicked in their head that, hey, this is also a jobs bill. I mean, this is 300 people that are working here in the state of New York in my district, as opposed to textiles being manufactured or disposable gowns being manufactured in another country. So we're seeing things that are opening our eyes to things. The nurses union, for instance, they want the better product, and the better product is the reusable product. We've seen them working now with manufacturers to develop a better product. As Diane said, they got to want to wear it. And there was a couple of circumstances where they said, well, it's uncomfortable. It's sweaty because it's it's thicker because it's got to last 75 washes than as opposed to something you throw in the trash. And so they've been working with manufacturers to create a better product here at Inova Hospitals here in Northern Virginia. They got together with a manufacturer. They sat with all the healthcare facility workers to redesign what a gown would look like, not only for comfort, but for how you put it on, how you take it off, how you store it, how you get access to it. And they created a better product. And so we're starting to have those kind of conversations at the state level. Federal level, I mean, that was this study that was done by the National Academy of Sciences. That was in a response to a bipartisan letter that said we needed to look at that. That was presented to the Department of HHS. They looked at it, independently. They came up with the money to do the research. The research, obviously, they came out and said because it reduces cost and waste, because it is more environmentally sustainable, because it's more supply chain resilient, that they want to find partners to help increase the use of reusable healthcare PPE, and whether that's by law or regulation, recommendation. Words have real power. And if the CDC or somebody came out and said, hey, we recommend using a reusable product, that would go a long way before you would have to have, regulation and things like that. So we think by having these regulations, it's at least having the dialogue about it. And we're seeing that people are getting on the side of reusables. California is a great example. They're trying to get rid of single-use plastic. We're talking about single-use gowns, which are creating 15,000 tons of waste. Let's get rid of that. So there it is, having that dialogue. And so we don't want it to be seen as a mandate, I think was what word we were batting around. It shouldn't be a mandate, but it should be something that we're all talking about. And we think that these bills are creating the dialogue.
And Joe mentioned about that it's job related, right? That there's extra jobs related to it. Something to consider for disposable gowns. More than 85% of disposable healthcare PPE is manufactured in Asia. So that really brings it back to that, you know, promoting those American jobs.
And the tariffs, I mean, we see these tariffs that we're talking about now, right? So the tariffs are going to be on these products, and that's going to change the cost parameters too. And there's obviously ways around some of those things, and we're seeing some of that happening now. But that's going to change the cost factor as well. So we think it bodes well for the reusable PPE, healthcare PPE, and other reusable products to really be at the forefront of, you know, reducing cost and being more environmentally conscious and being a good steward of the environment.
You've talked about tariffs. Are you worried about what's coming up?
Yeah, I mean, I think as I talked about somebody earlier, it's not so much worried about what's going to happen. It's uncertainty. Uncertainty is bad for business. Uncertainty is bad for individuals, right? If you don't know where you're, what's going to happen tomorrow, it makes you nervous, right? So I think people are nervous about what the changes in rules are going to be. Most businesses will tell you, tell me what the rules are and we'll play by them. We'll figure it out. But when you're changing the rules all the time, that creates a problem. And we're talking about in Canada, for instance, an agreement that's been in place for not that long, that took a long time to put in place. And now the Canadians are very concerned about what does that mean for them. We need to be concerned what it means for us. No matter where you come down politically or what do you think of tariffs, it's just the uncertainty. And so now you've got, you know, between now and when the president-elect takes office in January, are you going to see a scramble to buy more things? Are we going to be stockpiling stuff? Are there going to be shortages? You know, I don't know. I'm not trying to be predictive, but when you have uncertainty, it creates all kinds of actions that may not necessarily be in the best interest of our country or the best interest of business.
And that uncertainty can create that human nature where we just say, well, I don't want to change anything. I know you're talking about reusables, but there's all this uncertainty. And so we're just going to keep doing what we're doing until we're told that we can't do it or we need to switch or that type of thing. So that uncertainty can create some just human emotion too.
Yeah, inertia. I mean, inertia is easy. Changing is hard. I mean, changing anything, even if it's just swapping out maybe the shelving or, you know, how you get your gown. If you're used to ripping open plastic and put it on, is that the same kind of environment you're going to get with a reusable gown? So some of it's just, you know, what you're used to. And I know in the colleges and medical schools and universities, there's a lot of disposable product and people are working on getting that to be reusable. So those students are then used to it. And I think then that also makes a change over time as well.
Yeah, very, very well put. Is there anything else that we haven't discussed that you would like to cover and tell ICT's audience?
I think, you know, I think we've talked about, I don't want to overbeat the story here, right? But I think, you know, what the National Academy of Sciences said is should resonate with people, that reduces cost, it reduces waste. It's better for the environment. It has supply chain resiliency. The reusable PPE brings a lot of value to the table. I think we also want to make sure that those things are clean. So as Diane said, we really suggest that you use a hygienically clean certified laundry when you're looking to have your products outsourced to ensure that there's some level of cleanliness that's, and guidelines and standards that are imposed upon the products that you're purchasing. So really, those are the three or four most important things. I mean, as you said, it's education, right? So we're making an effort to sit down with the stakeholders in our industry, collaborate with them, communicate with them, educate them on, you know, on the importance of the reusable product and what it does within our current healthcare environment and our changing healthcare environment.
And I feel like ultimately it's about making sure that frontline staff have what they need for the best protection possible to keep patients safe.
Yeah, health and safety and comfort are key. And you got to have all those things on top of it.
Absolutely. Thank you both so much for joining me today. It's been such a pleasure and learned a lot. And I hope that we all seriously consider, if we haven't already, to go to reusable PPE.
Thank you, Tori. I appreciate your time. Thank you, Diane, for joining us on this. Appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Tori.
You're welcome.